The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Okay, folks, we're back. Listening to the National Intel Report on RepublicBroadcasting.org. Please go to RepublicBroadcasting.org and hit the donate button and donate what you can. Free speech is not free, and we need all the help you can get. We can give us, or you can give you in this situation. So, that we're in. So, this is hour two of National Intel Report. I've got Dennis Wise and Dave Gahari. And again, Dennis Wise is the author of three DVD sets, The Greatest Story Never Told, The Untold Story of Adolf Hitler, Communism by the Back Door, and The New World Order, and The Secret Masonic Victory of World War II, his most recent one, which is what we're discussing tonight. And Dave Gahari is the publisher, and, real quick, let me run over Dave Gahari's. He's got some interesting websites. So if you go to davegahari.com, you can see some interviews that he's done, aside from his Money Tree publishing site, which is his current work, and Turn the Tide publishing. And what was the other website you mentioned, Dave, you sent me a while ago?
Maybe Moonrock Books Publishing, Turning the Tide Publishing, of course, Money Tree Publishing, and Rockstar Publishing, which is Erasing the Liberty. All the work I've done on, getting the truth out about the USS Liberty.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, yeah. Then we mentioned that at the top of the beginning hour, but there really is no better person that knows more about the USS Liberty and the detail about it than Dave Gahari. It's uncanny. You did an interview with Richard about a month ago, I think. We got to get that and share that. That's go back and look for that in the archives on Richard Carey's show on Beyond the Official Narrative. Somewhere around a month ago, he had you on. Just search for that, folks. Yeah. It's a great interview.
Thanks. I've been immersed in that stuff for a while, so it kind of is second nature to me. And I guess with anything, right? And I guess one day it'll leave me, as I get older and start to lose my faculties. But right now I'm pretty adept at the Liberty stuff, and it's an interesting event that occurred, and it always makes sense to gather as much information as you can about something like that, really about anything, because what you think might be the truth, many times it isn't. And that is just, the way it is with anything, I think.
It's such a great point. And you got to, being the whole point is being fiercely dedicated to the truth, even if it means that you have to go back and say, I was wrong about something before, or correct it. And just always being on that path, that trajectory of discovering new information. And right now, we're hoping, hopefully we're helping people to discover some new information that they didn't have before, that they can ponder and they can go and research themselves and discover just entirely new realms of what it's been forbidden before just forbidden now and has been forbidden for so long.
Yeah.
And that, no, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just wanted to finish my thought before the break happened. And that was, you brought up the point about race and, you know, that's, yeah, it's certainly, you know, it's not mentally profitable to, or intellectually sound to condemn an entire race, obviously. I mean, it's just common sense. I mean, I've known black people who, from Africa, who are like completely brilliant, who could, you know, speak circles around your average American. Because, for example, Ghana, the language there, the native language is English. And many of these people are brilliant.
And what you're saying, Dave's true. But recently over in Britain, there was a case of the BBC, which is, believe you me, run by a huge Jewish contingent. The English football team were playing in the World Cup, and they went through to the quarterfinals with a victory, an 8-0 victory. And the BBC reporter, this wasn't in a documentary after the event, this was a report on the match, and the female BBC reporter actually turned around and said, the problem with, although they won 8-0, the problem is there's not enough diversity in the team, because all the team plus the substitutes were white. So when you're talking about you can't condemn a race, that is exactly what is happening to us.
Excellent point. Yeah, and we need to keep I don't think that there is, I mean, the Middle East has been destroyed by Zionism. Yep. And so there's no ignoring this. But the goal from the overall goal from doing that is to create this massive, not only to expand the state of Israel wider in that region, but and to balkanize all of these countries and play upon the different factions that come out of that balkanization and fund the wars and fund both sides and just basically create disarray and non-unification on all these countries, as well as war and destruction. But it's also creating this massive refugee crisis, which they have used to send the influx of refugees and create another cultural clash up in Europe. Now we see what's happening in Europe, this flooding of countries in Africa and also in the Middle East into Europe, and basically just destroying European culture.
Well, can I just say that? Why else would the West destroy the Middle East, but at the same time, allow millions to dwell in their own countries? This is going to amount to only one thing, which is chaos, because once the white would the whites become the known minority in their own countries, which is what is happening all over Australia, America, Europe, then the problem is these people will be looking for revenge, and they'll look to the white person as the enemy, and there'll be enough over here and over in Europe especially to cause that problem. And once they get politicians in, their own politicians, they can bring Sharia law in. Once you know they're in a position to make a law, Sharia law comes into play, and then all hell breaks loose. But the fact that they're actually letting these people in, even without checking who they are, Merkel let a million in just on a whim, is suicide for Europe.
And that's not no exaggeration whatsoever. And it isn't necessarily the Europeans committing suicide, although so many are so brainwashed by decades of propaganda since World War II.
Certainly the Germans, yeah.
But the Jew, you know, Angela Merkel is a Jew herself.
Yep.
And she's, you know, performing the works of international Jewry. You know, European Union is a Jewish power block.
That's right. And they're all Freemasons. And Kalergi, who first thought of the plan, Count Kalergi, he was a Freemason. And admired by Truman. Hitler tried to catch him three times. He managed to escape all three times, unfortunately. But yeah, he's highly regarded for that wonderful piece of work of mixing the races of Europe, or so he suggested.
Yeah. So I have never in my life had any problem at all with people mixing. Even there was a time in my own life when I wanted to do that before I realized the danger that we're in as a people. And I thought, you know, and if people are naturally doing that, great, right? But and I have nothing wrong with nothing against other races. But when you have a race, which is the Jew world or the power elites, whatever you want, international Jewry, forcing this genocide, which is what it is, yep. And rendering, you know, international bodies, which are really run by them anyway, like the United Nations, completely useless when it comes to, you know, they have their definition of what genocide is, the UN, and it is to do what they're doing, you know, sending millions of refugees in and making it, you know, taxing the hell out of you and making it difficult to live because of your pernicious and terrible monetary policies that you're forcing on the country.
Well, all this has been planned, and immediately after World War II, the Jews took access to the German warships and went to the Caribbean and picked up a load of wannabe immigrants and brought them over to London. But the British people never actually voted on the subject. They were just told, you've got to accept it. And at first, there's a lot of resistance, but eventually, over time, the propaganda and the race relation laws, people start to bend, and we find ourselves today where, you know, where especially the Muslim community keep themselves to themselves anyway; they don't integrate. So it's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it really is, and the guilt that comes along with. That they've inculcated into us about being white is really them blame shifting for what they've done, you know, such as, you know, transatlantic slave trade is the perfect example, and blaming it on us, and then, you know, basically absconding away with the loot again and again and again, while they remain blameless, and we sit there holding the cards for what they did.
Yeah, well, that's very much the same with the wiping out of the Red Indians. The people in charge were Freemasons. I'm pretty sure I'll put all the money I have on Custer being a Freemason. You know, the people in charge at the top end, they knew exactly what was going on, and they would, you know, the white soldiers, granted, took part in what was the genocide, but it was the Freemason who was the idea behind it all. Because they've done that in many countries. They've done that to the Aborigines. They've done that to, like I said, the Red Indians. And they're doing it to the whites, because every white now is, in their eyes, a Nazi.
Mm. Yeah. And you hear that word Nazi come up so much, it should be like, okay, wait a minute here. What does that actually mean? And then you go look into it and you find out that the so-called Nazis were trying to defend the world against this Jewish parasitic force that has made itself into the big victim that had bamboozled all of us. Let me just read something from your
okay.
I do want to get in a little bit about the DVD set. So this is a screenshot that I took, and this has the it's a red and has it's got a picture of the Soviet flag and the sword and sickle and the star. And it says, news of the Bolshevik Revolution spread across mainland Europe. Fear would eventually grip the contingent, especially those countries on the borders with the new communist Russia. So that's like Eastern Europe. The summer of 1918 saw the purge on the Russian Orthodox Christian clergy, when thousands of priests were murdered and imprisoned as the Bolsheviks unleashed their wrath on Christianity. Worse was yet to come, and all funded by the U.S. bankers through their puppet presidents in the White House. That's it. Oh, you still there? Did I lose you?
Oh, I'm muted. No, I was just going to say, yeah, and the American bankers are owned by the bankers in London. So basically, what I'm telling you there is that massacres like the Katyn massacre in World War II, when Roosevelt and Churchill pretended to know nothing about it, that would have been ordered, because Stalin doesn't do anything without taking orders. Yes, he turned at the end of the war, but during the war, he was a puppet, just like Truman and Roosevelt and Churchill.
Right, and I remember one of the points that was made in your documentary was how Roosevelt called Stalin Uncle Joe.
Correct.
So this was to soften the image of the Soviets, who we were allied with. I don't know why people scratch their heads and say, exactly, wait a minute, World War II was not a good war. We teamed up with the Soviet Union, this murderous regime that suddenly after World War II became our enemy in the Cold War, right? Something's not right here. We teamed up with them against Germany. So that should be a big red flag right there, right? These were presidents that said, promised to keep us out of these European wars. And why are we going over and fighting in those wars way over there anyway? Like, what? We're locked by oceans on both sides. So what interest is it to us? So while people this was a good war, no, it was the opposite. It was not the good war. It was the greatest tragedy in human history.
Well, the thing is that before Pearl Harbor, something like 90% of the country didn't want to know of another war in Europe. But as soon as Pearl Harbor took place, which, again, you know, there's enough evidence now, books would have been written to say that it was a setup to get America into the war, because once they declared war on Japan, you know, it was only one step to send troops into Europe, because Hitler had a deal with Japan that if they were threatened, that he would come to their aid, and so declared war on America, just as a thing of honor. The only thing was, like, you know, it was a backdoor route to get America in the war, which they've been trying to get in. Again, I go into great detail in the Masonic Victory, which shows how Roosevelt was trying to get in the war. He was sending ships into war zones which were armed, hoping that the Germans would turn on them. He invaded Iceland, saying that we are the eyes of Britain up there in the top north of Europe. So all these things, I mean, are all skipped over. People don't realize. And in the end, like you say, I truly believe that after the defeat of France and of Britain, that Roosevelt gave the order for Stalin to mass the greatest army on the borders of Europe, because America at that time weren't ready to go to war. The American people didn't want to go to war. So his only alternative was for Stalin to invade. And Hitler got wind of it, which has wiped out the history books in the West, and invaded the Soviet Union with six other nations, six Christian nations, to take down Stalin. And in the first week or so, they took millions prisoner. And I truly believe that Roosevelt would have been gutted at that moment in time.
All right, let's put a bookmark there, and we will continue this after the break, folks. Stick around. Thank you.
standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sun down shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then
all right, we're back. So I really wanted to continue and let that song play its chorus because it's a great song, but we just have so much we want to get through here. So talking to Dennis Wise tonight, the creator of The Greatest Story Never Told and DVD set that came out in 2015. And Communism by the Back Door, his second DVD set, and Secret Masonic Victory of World War II. And we have Dave Gahari, his publisher as well, on the line with us as well. So this is really, really an honorable situation here that we have here tonight. Situation. Hey. So let me so I got another quote here. I took a screenshot from
okay.
And you went into a lot of how the Catholic Church, and in a lot, this is what the argument, the Catholic Church, how they helped the National Socialists and Hitler to defend Europe against Jewish Bolshevism. And because, like you said, this was a holy war. This was a Jewish holy war, World War II, World War I, World War II were Jewish holy wars, first against the monarchies. They destroyed the monarchies in World War I, the Tsar.
Yep.
And the Franz Ferdinand and his wife Sophie, so tragic. how they murdered him and his wife and left their children parentless. Go look online. Go look up these people. Go look at their pictures. They're families that represented Christian Europe. And so, you know, the Tsar and his family. Look at their daughters. Look at Maria, their beautiful daughter. All of their daughters. They're all beautiful. Their kids. They murdered them all in cold blood. They put the Tsar and his family up against the wall, these Jewish Bolsheviks, and they just shot them all. And then when they didn't die, they bludgeoned them to death. The daughters. And just think about it. Let, just, you know, internalize it. Because
don't think those daughters weren't raped, by the way.
Right. Yeah, I mean, really. I mean,
you've got a royal princess in front of you. I know how Bolsheviks think.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've done, and they did heinous crimes. I mean, indescribable tortures that they committed against priests and Russian patriots.
Even the Germans during the war, they raped 2 million women.
Yes. Yeah, the Germans were the ones who suffered a Holocaust in World War II, folks. That is the truth. Dresden is a good example. They were bombed with phosphorus bombs and just lit up the entire towns that had no strategic interest to the war whatsoever. They were it was just a genocide. It was carrying out Theodor Kaufmann book, Germany Must Perish, written in 1941.
Correct. They were targeted civilians.
Yeah.
Admittedly as well.
Right. And what was the propaganda minister's name?
Goebbels.
No, not for the Germans. For the ones we never hear about. For the Russians. What was his name?
Oh, for the Russians. Ehrenberg, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't think of his name myself there, but yeah, he's the one who said kill the race.
Ilya Ehrenberg.
That's right, rape all the women, yeah.
Right, and they did. They came in and they did. The Asiatics that came out with the third and fourth and fifth waves of Russian soldiers that came through from the Far East of Russia just came in and just tortured and murdered. I just had a feast. And this is what Eisenhower set up. This is what Eisenhower made possible because he wouldn't let Patton come in through the underbelly and finish the war humanely for the Germans. That's what Patton tried to tell everybody, and then they killed him too.
Yeah, so that's right.
Let me read a quote here real quick. This is from the Catholic Church. Catholic paper claims Hitler will save humanity from the Jews. The Nazi movement for freeing the world. I hate that word Nazi, by the way. It's such a pejorative term. It's so disgusting. It's like calling somebody, you know, the other N word.
Yep.
You know, it's no different than that, folks. Call somebody a Nazi. Maybe it's politically acceptable right now, but there's going to come a time when the world wakes up and realize that when you call somebody a Nazi, it's no different than calling a black person the N word. Okay.
That's right.
Okay, so the Nazi movement, this is a quote from the Father Franco Krelick, the Zagra Catholic newspaper of 1941. The Nazi movement for freeing the world from the Jews is a movement for the renaissance of human dignity. The all-wise and almighty God is behind this movement.
Yeah, that was a quote from a Zagreb newspaper, which Croatia was a Christian country who also went into the Soviet Union with Adolf Hitler, along with Bulgaria and Finland and a couple of others to take down Stalin. Now, don't get me wrong about the Catholic Church. At this point in time, the Catholic Church, fascism was the political wing of the Vatican at this particular point in time. But there have been moments throughout history, and even... Music?
Oh. Oh, hold that thought.
Okay.
We're up against the bottom of the hour break here. We will grab that one when we come back. Folks, stick around.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're back. And as much as I'd like to listen to that song and catch the beginning of it, we gotta move forward with our topics here. That's a great song, by the way. All right, Dennis, so you were in mid-thought. We just want to just continue right where you left off there.
Yeah, just remind me if you can.
Well, I said, don't forget what you were.
Yeah, you did.
I kind of did. Yeah. Well, okay, so that's fine. Maybe we'll come back to you. But meanwhile, I was thumbing through some of the snapshots I took, and I found that of your DVD, and I found this picture of Adolf Hitler when he was a soldier, and he has this mustache with the curls up, kind of, you know. And
yep.
I just sent you guys a snapshot, and if you just look at his face, you look at his eyes. It is not the man they portrayed. You see a brave man of the early 20th century, and you see a picture of what, like, the epitome of what men were in those days, because Adolf Hitler was one of the bravest soldiers. He volunteered for the most dangerous jobs, doing recon in the trenches, running over from trench to trench to do recon, which was like absolutely So you're talking about our leaders aren't like that anymore. They're just a bunch of cowards that succumb. That's not who Adolf Hitler was, and that's why he's so demonized.
Well, that's the same with the leaders of the SS as well, because the SS during the war, instead of like most generals, they sit on a hill. The SS officers were in the thick of the battle with the soldiers, and they lost well over 50% of the leaders. But just going back to the chat just before the break, we were talking about the Catholic Church, and I mentioned that the Catholic Church at that time was on the political right, which was fascism, which tied in nicely with National Socialism, which is why they felt it right that Hitler should lead the way. Don't get me wrong, there's been times in history when the Catholic Church has been dubious. And even during that time, a lot of left-wing priests were causing havoc in Germany. Hitler warned them, and Hitler actually put some in prison. He said, if you don't stick to what you preach in the pulpit and keep away from politics, you will end up in prison. And at one point, Roosevelt and Churchill had a go at him, saying that he was picking on these Catholic priests, and Hitler turned around in a speech and said, where were you during the Spanish Revolution when thousands of priests and bishops were being murdered, where National Socialists volunteered to actually go to Spain and fight, and Hitler actually gave them weapons, even his air force, to help Spain win that battle. So, you know, the Catholic Church had full faith in Hitler, because he was the leader of Europe, so to speak, the powerhouse of Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. And understanding what the Bolsheviks, because this is another Bolshevik revolution, the Spanish Revolution in 1936, mm-hmm. Understanding what they did in Russia, you know, already, and all the people they murdered and all the gulags they set up, and all the people they put in cattle cars and shipped off to the gulags. All right. This is blame the victim for what you did to the victim. That's what the Holocaust is, folks. Blame the victim for what you did to the victim. Look into it a little bit.
And communism is, of course, international. So people who doubt the fact that Bolsheviks were going to come anyway, that's communism. Communism is key to ruling the world. And so there was no doubt that the Vatican knew, and the Germans knew, that the Bolsheviks would have come, without a doubt, and certainly did.
They certainly did. They certainly did. So we got this picture of Joseph Stalin. I thought this was like, I didn't even recognize him barely. He's so young. We only see Stalin when he's kind of older. But it's a quote from him. That he was a bank robber in these days. You know, he looks like a bank robber. A single death is a tragedy. A million deaths is a statistic. Joseph Stalin, former bank robber and supreme commander of the Soviet Union.
That's right. Well, we find out in The Secret Masonic Victory that after Stalin turned at the end of the war, we weren't given a reason why. I suspect that the trainload of Masonic artifacts that they took back to Moscow revealed things that Stalin shouldn't have known. Was one reason he turned against the West. And in fact, by taking Eastern Europe, which he did, Churchill was then sacked because he played a big part in Stalin taking Eastern Europe. And then in 1950, we find out that the Americans actually bombed the Russian bases because they were getting impatient with him, because all the wealth from East Germany should have been heading towards the West. But Stalin was taking it for himself.
Yeah. Go ahead. Did you have more there?
Yeah, well, all that's detailed in the documentary, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to mention that Stalin, I think what happened was, because you mentioned the world, world revolution, world Jewry, world communism. And I think that there was Stalin wanted, there was really a part of Stalin that was somewhat nationalist in terms of Russians, even though he murdered so many of his own people with the Holodomor, with Gingrich Yagoda being one of the Jewish commissars. Look up Gingrich Yagoda, how many people died under him. And under above Gingrich Yagoda was Lazar Kaganovich, who was Stalin's brother-in-law and right-hand man, who was married to Stalin was married to his sister, actually. Gar Kaganovich was a Jew. Gingrich Yagoda was a Jew. I think Stalin did not want to do the bidding anymore for what was ultimately the goal for the world communism to be headquartered in London and New York. He wanted it to be headquartered in Moscow.
Yeah, that's great, because plan. There was 6 million Russians heading for Berlin. Stalin's army was the biggest army in the world. And at that time, we actually had nuclear bombs at that time. Certainly gave him a lot of power. He could have quite easily thought, why am I handing all this over to the British and the Americans when keep it for myself?
Well, you know, that when sometimes the leaders will figure out that they're being used, you know, yeah. And even as evil as they are, and they will turn against the usurers.
For sure.
Because it's not like they care about each other, right? Well,
no, they turn on each other, don't they? No, they turn on each other.
Yeah. You got that picture, the snake wrapped in a circle eating its own tail.
Yeah, well, that's the Freemason, typical Freemason. Come satanic sign. And I'm not talking about all Freemasons. A lot of the Freemasons are meant to be unaware of what is really going on. It's really a cover for Satanism. And the top echelon of Freemasonry, they know all about it, but the average Freemason is generally unaware, just thinks it's a good business contact club.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and that's the point of the degrees, right? Yep. So most of the Freemason lodges are first, second, and third degree Freemasons. There's 33 degrees, and maybe more that we don't even know about. There may be more.
That's right.
But let's say the 33rd degree is the highest degree, and that's where the leaders like the.
Yeah, I've heard there's a 90th degree, but I can't confirm that. I think so.
I'm still here, but I can't hear him. Okay. Dan, I wanted to ask you when...
Sure.
And I don't know. I guess we never talked about this, but, you know, the title of it, you know, I mean, and you do talk about Freemasonry in all of your work. And that's, I guess, the central theme.
Yep.
But what brought you to, after doing Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told, and then New World Order, communism by the back door, what brought you to want to do, I guess this is the final in what you call the trilogy of truth. Mm-hmm. What motivated you to put this one together, and how did you come about with that title?
Well, basically what it was I noticed what had happened since Germany had been defeated, and especially the Vatican Council, when over a three-year period the Catholic power was stripped bare, and popes were either killed or poisoned or replaced, such as we have one today who talks about the New World Order in glowing terms. And all that is because Freemasonry infiltrated the Vatican. Because just after World War II, what people don't realize is that without the Catholic Church, a lot of the National Socialist soldiers, the Germans and their allies, were smuggled out of Europe, either into Spain or further down into into Argentina, and without the help of them getting the papers and the passports, a lot more would have died. And so when I looked at it and saw the power of Freemasonry, not only at that time, but in the English government and in the American government. I mean, you talk about the U.S. Liberty, but early on, Johnson, again, was a Freemason president, as all all presidents are in America. So at the end of the day, it didn't take much to think there's some investigation worthwhile in this case. And then, again, we're taught not only about the politicians. We talk about the early on tonight, before we went on air, we talked about the musicians, and certain musicians can only progress to earn the millions, like Bono, etc., because they enter Freemasonry. And if you don't, then you don't go through that door, then you get left behind. Personally, myself, if I ever had the choice, I wouldn't go through that door, knowing what it is, but a lot do.
Oh man, yeah. I feel now that I've seen that, and I saw some of that documentary that I saw about like every single famous person being a Freemason and having to swear allegiance to this Freemason god, the satanic god. It's very clear that that is the case, that they all do have to do that. I would never ever want to be. I feel terrible for them. Really, I do.
Look at the likes of Madonna and people like that who actually thrive on it. Some, I feel, are going through the motions, but people like Bono and Madonna actually thrive on pushing this New World Order and this Masonic satanic agenda.
Bono, you mentioned that. What a good example, too, because I remember thinking, Bono, he's such a champion of freedom and liberty in the 80s, right? To come out with Where the Streets Have No Name, and such a great song, and it's so liberating to listen to a song like that. Well, and then you see what Bono is doing now. It's so sick. I can't even believe it.
Well, even Freddie Mercury and Queen, if you remember, they were bringing out songs like One World, One Religion, things like that, because he's a Freemason, Brian May. So it all ties up. Freddie Mercury would have been, because they just wouldn't have got where they were got to without being a member of the club. And it fascinates me because, in a way, it's a brilliant plan. I'm certainly not. I don't think it was thought of by a human being. I think it's too brilliant for that. The fact that they've got where they've got over the last 200 or 300 years, to me, it's something supernatural thoughts of that plan.
I was just watching one part of your documentary this afternoon. It was what was his name, Andrew Lawrence,
was it?
Andrew Lawrence, right? The guy who was narrating was talking about
Alexander Lawrence. My mistake.
That you mentioning Satan just being unbelievably calculating and able and capable of planning out all of this kind of stuff. And when you control the money, of the world, you can do this because people are wrapped up in it. And
Rothschilds who came out and said, I care not who leads the country as long as I control the finances.
Right. And when did he say that? It was around the time of when they defeated Napoleon, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's quite true, because at the end of the day, if Britain wanted to go to war, and the city of London, where all these the Rothschild banks are based, if they decide not to give them any money, then Britain won't go to war. And vice versa.
Well, because the English aren't ruled,
The English aren't ruled by the English anymore. That, again, is proven in the Secret Masonic Victory.
Right.
When they say the Jews took... the Prime Ministers and Presidents took the Jew advisor to Versailles. Versailles was actually a Masonic celebration, and it was the Jews who took the Prime Ministers and the Presidents along with them to make sure that the deal was done.
Wow. Yeah.
170 Jews at Versailles.
170.
170, and the Pope was banned.
Oh, man. The Treaty of Versailles. That is where the end of World War One. That is where they decided the fate of Germany, who did not start the war. It was fomented by the international Jewry, who had planned on destroying all of the monarchs of Christian Europe and destroying... It was a war against Christianity, starting with the monarchs. And then they finished it off in World War II.
In World War II, yeah.
So I have another I want to read. This goes back to Samuel Untermyer. We can find confirmation of this in the declaration of a holy war, Germany in 1933, by Samuel Untermyer on his return to the U.S. from World Jewish Congress in Amsterdam. In the middle of calling for the starvation of Germany, he publicly chastised Jewish bankers on WABC radio. Okay, that's what you mentioned. The New York Times, sorry, it's a little blurry, printed the whole speech the following day. Here is part of about the bankers, and the historians have chosen to ignore. It's kind of like Churchill. When he wrote that article called "The Zionism versus Bolshevism: The Struggle for the Jewish People," and he told some truth there for a minute, even though he was a Freemason degenerate
Jewish.
He had him. I think he was mad because he was in during the wilderness years, right? Remember, because after World War One, they weren't exactly happy with him because of Gallipoli, right? So they weren't. And he kind of allowed Gallipoli. That was just sort of a big blunder.
Yeah,
the Ottoman Empire won that battle against the they just slaughtered. It was kind of like the Bay of Pigs in a way but the British went down and attacked I don't know what they were trying to do with that, but it didn't work out, and then he was ostracized for a while, and then I think that's when he wrote that, 1920, in the Daily Herald or whatever the newspaper was.
He knew
then they brought
him
back into the fold.
That's right.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? But he came back into the fold. They brought him back in. I think Bernard Baruch or somebody tapped on him and said, "Okay, here's what we can help you with your money problems." Because he was a.
Can I just mention?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm talking way too much.
No, it's okay. No, you just remind me in the speech where he talks about we'll fight on the beaches, etc. In that speech, there's a part where he says Christianity, the fight is for the survival of Christianity, when in fact he sided with the communists and the whole of the Axis powers, all the countries, whether Protestant or Catholic, were all Christian. So we were talking bullshit then.
You know, and this segues into people want to hear about current times and controlled opposition. And if you go, the idea of controlled opposition goes back to Lenin and Trotsky. Lenin is quoted saying, "The best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves." And so out of that came the Trotskyite neoconservative movement from William Crystal, right?
Yeah,
and then William Crystal, the commentator on Fox News, and then they're always pushing for Zionist wars, and well, they complain about all this other stuff on Fox News, they're pushing for Zionist wars all the time. You know?
Yeah, but people don't realize that George Bush was actually a communist. He wasn't right wing.
Oh, yeah.
He was a communist.
I couldn't have heard that back in 2001 when 9/11 happened. I wouldn't have listened to you.
No.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, where were you at that time? I mean, like, in terms of your learning and everything.
Well, I knew from an early age a lot of it because I was taught by my father who fought for Germany. And so I always had a positive view of Adolf Hitler, even though I couldn't really say much because I was the only person who did. But I could see the propaganda. I could see the comic books, which, made the Germans out to be idiots. And, what can you do? Until the internet came available, there was nothing I could do.
Well, and that's the dichotomy, too, with kids. Like, if you wanted to talk to your kids about it, you have to wait till they get to be a certain age. Yep. And meanwhile, you have to put up with the torture of knowing that they're being brainwashed and told these lies.
Well, can I just
say
that
school?
The biggest threat today to children is At one point, the Freemasons in America voted to stop any Bible teachings in schools. And since then, they've kind of brought this sex education. Now, this all comes from the UN, by the way. With Britain, they can teach 5-year-olds about anal sex and such. And this is the biggest threat, I think, because I learned only the other day, right, that the American government is exporting all this to certain countries that they have influence over. And one of the countries, I'm pretty sure it will be one of those countries out there, they actually imprisoned 300,000 men. 300,000 men over a period of time and beat them savagely and raped them with phallic symbols and such, so that they could introduce this LGBT agenda into the country. Because over in Eastern Europe, they don't want to know about it. But apparently it's going on again. There's a lot jailed in the Ukraine at the moment as well. So what's going on over there, I don't know. But I do know for a fact that they were beating up and destroying, humiliating men. I'm pretty sure it was Latvia.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we've actually been doing when we go around so-called fighting for freedom everywhere, fighting the war against terror. Now we are fighting, we are the terrorists going around terrorizing the world and doing exactly the opposite. And that's how these people, they work. They do the exact opposite of what they say. So we're at the top. We got a few minutes left here. We got about, and so let me let Dave get a quick comment in here, Dennis, and then I'll let you finish it up. Dave,
Great. I had a great time on the show listening. I mean, and I didn't need to talk because this is, you know, obviously, you know, for Dennis, it's Dennis's work, and I always learn a lot listening to him. It really is a great honor to be on a show with him and be on the show with you. And I'm always here to answer anybody's questions as far as the publishing outfits. Just send me an email. Go to any one of the sites. And if you have any questions, just let me know. And I usually reply pretty much immediately. So thank you, William, for putting this show on. And of course, thank you, Dennis, for everything you have done for really anyone who's interested in the truth, but primarily for the race that happens to be targeted by the international Jew right now. That's the white race.
Well, my race, yeah.
Yeah. And Dennis, we're already at the end. We're going to have to do this again, guys.
Pleasure, guys.
Thank you so much for coming on, and it's been an honor. And everybody have a great day.
And yourselves.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.